Would you turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Psalm 145? Psalm 145. Now, every year on this last Sunday of the year, we take time to look back over that year. This is 2014. And just to think about what God has done. You know, life for all of us is very, very busy, right? We just kind of crank out one day at a time, one week at a time, and sometimes we forget to look back over the year and see the faithfulness of God. How many times do we pray and then we get so busy we don't even think about God answering that prayer? You know, and all of a sudden we think, well, that worked out fine, and we don't realize that He answered a prayer that we lifted up to Him 2 weeks ago, because life is just so busy. But in the Bible, King David and others said, I will recount the wondrous works of the Lord. God told His children Israel, always remember the things that I've done in your life, because that will give us confidence for today and hope for the future, because God never changes, right? So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to look at this last year and see what God has done in our lives and in our church family. But we're going to begin with reading Psalm 145 and use this psalm as kind of an outline, because David hit on all the points we're going to be talking about in this psalm. Let's begin reading with verse 1, Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on all your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words, and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. What a powerful psalm written by King David, magnifying the Lord. We're going to be talking about this morning. By way of reminder, this last year, we did a series in this church for several months talking about why we exist as a church. Why do we exist as a church? How many know churches are more than potlucks or pot blesses or covered dishes or whatever you want to call it, okay? More than just meeting on Sunday, more than just having friends, more than that. And we went through that this summer, and we have an acronym here at Winter Park Christian Church, Winter Park Christian Church, WPCC. And what we've done is we've put the essence of what we're about in those four letters. For instance, letter number one, worship. We exist to worship the Lord and to celebrate His presence. We exist to worship God. That's what God calls us to do. Secondly, the P, we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in all the earth. We exist to do that, to tell the good news of what Jesus has done for us and what He'll do for you. Thirdly, the C, we exist to consecrate our lives to Him through obedience to His word. to grow up, to mature, to grow in our knowledge of God. And the fourth C, to commit our lives, to learn to commit our lives to His service, both in the church and outside of the church, to see the gifts and talents God's given us and how we're going to use those. So that's who we are. If someone ever asks you what your church is all about, worship, proclaim, consecrate, commit, that's what we're all about. And everything we do in this church falls into one or more of those categories. So as we look over today, we're going to be looking at this morning and to see how these areas were lived out in our church in this last year. Now, we're going to be looking at many pictures this morning. The only pictures we have are the pictures that people took. We don't have pictures of all the things that went on this year. I wish we would have, but not everybody is a picture taker, right? I'm not a picture taker, okay? Marty and I have gone overseas. I've gone overseas and come back. My kids said, well, where's your pictures? I didn't take any pictures. You went overseas and didn't take any pictures. I'm not a picture taker, okay? I don't do that much. But I count on the people with me to take pictures, and then they can email them to me. And all the pictures you're going to be seeing are from this last year, 2014. So let's begin recounting the blessings of the Lord in our lives and in our church this last year. We're going to begin with worship. We exist to worship the Lord and celebrate His presence. David says in Psalm 145, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Worship is a daily activity. It's not something we just do on Sundays. It's something that we do every day because God is the one who gives us each day. Worship is to be expressive. In our congregational times, worship is to be expressive. Now, I had never done this before, but I thought about it. I've been up here with this church a little over 26 years. In 26 years, we have met as a congregation for Sunday worship 1,352 times. Isn't that awesome? And some of you here have been here all the time I've been here. 1,300 times we've gotten together to worship the Lord. Once a week, 52 weeks a year. And God said, you set one day aside. 6 days you work, you set one day aside to make it holy to the Lord. That day, we aren't to be scheduling things. That day is a day when we come together as Christians. We worship God. We thank Him. We fellowship with one another. We hear what He's doing in each other's lives. And that's what this day is all about. So when we come together to worship on Sundays, worship should be expressive, right? Now, I know some people come from churches where there's not a lot of expression. You just kind of stand there and you sing and you're quiet and that's the way you are. But we're not really like that here, okay? And because what the Scriptures say, the best book we have on worship is right here, okay? And turn with me back a little bit from where you are to Psalm 98. And look at what Psalm 98 says. These are our guidelines. If we didn't have the Word of God, it'd be every man for himself. You can do whatever you want. But God gives us guidelines as far as what pleases Him in worship. What is He looking for? Look at Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. So singing is appropriate before God. For He has done marvelous things. As we recount the marvelous things that God has done, it causes worship to arise in our hearts to Him. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of all the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. So, in worship at times, it's noisy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. How many are glad it doesn't say, sing skillfully to the Lord, right? Not all of us can sing skillfully, but everybody can make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises, exclamation point in the Bible. That's exuberance. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Also, you have another scripture is that there's loud clashing cymbals with the drums before God, pleasing to God and appropriate. There's dancing. There's raising of hands. There's exuberance in the presence of God. But for some reason, people can be so exuberant outside of church, then they get to church and they're just real stoic. Have you ever seen the 18th hole of a golf tournament? and the ball, the golf ball, goes across the green and drops into the cup for a birdie. And what does the crowd do? They go bananas. Jumping and high-fiving. Yay, did you see that putt? Whoa. Or in football games, a football player goes across the goal and the fans go crazy with exuberance. Or a puck goes in just before the buzzer in a hockey game and everybody's going nuts in the hockey game. But those same people come to church and it's like, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I mean, it's like, where's the exuberance? I was in a conference years ago back east, about 4,000 people. My wife and I were there. I was with a friend from Grand County at that time. And they sang this real powerful worship song that you almost couldn't sit down to, okay? But everybody was standing, and my buddy and I were having a good time. And at the end of the song, he says, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." And he yells that out. And the people in front of us turned around and said, "We don't do that here." There are times when you just have to say, "Lord, you have filled my heart with so much joy. I got to do something. Got to do something." Clap, sing. You know, it says in Psalm 63, verse 4, "Your loving kindness, O God, is better than life, and I will lift up my hands in your name." There are many Christians who have never lifted up their hands. You know, we're expressive. We're to be expressive people. I come from an Italian family. My mom and dad are here. We have to move our hands to talk. You can't talk without moving your hands. And we hug and we shake hands, you know, when you greet somebody or give them a high five or some dog, put it in the pound, give me some dog, or whatever it might be. You know, we're expressive. We're expressive. But God has made us to be expressive. So when we're worshiping Him, there are times for expression. Psalm 47 verse 1 says, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." You ever shouted in church? Well, we do that here, okay? No one's going to tell you we don't do that here. But there's an appropriate time to shout. Now, I was in a real quiet time once in a church, and everybody was in a real, real quiet time, real beautiful time. And this lady behind me jumps up and shouts, "Hallelujah," right in my ears. It was not an appropriate time to do that. I mean, that did not bless me. I mean, it got me out of the mood, all right? So there's a time for that, and there's a time not for that. In fact, in Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So there's a time for stillness when we're just thinking about the wonders of who He is. Be still. So there's different ways to express ourselves, and we've done that here this year in our corporate times together, and candlelight services and things like that. There's a quiet time, but there's also a time when you just have to, you got to move, okay? You got to move. We sang in the Christmas Eve service, "Take your candle, go light your world." You just can't be, you got to put your candle up at that time. Also, worship is to be seen in our daily lives. Worship is not just to be meant to be here on Sundays within these four walls. It's something we do every day. Every day I will bless you. It says in Romans chapter 12, Paul says to the church, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren or brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your" what? Your reasonable service or spiritual worship, says there in many Bibles. This is how we worship God every day, by laying down our lives as living sacrifices. How do we do that? What does that mean? That means that I'm sacrificing what I want for what God wants. In other words, the way we lay down our life every day as living sacrifices, we say, "Lord, today, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus taught us that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my agenda, but your agenda. Not how I want to respond to this situation, but how you want me to respond in this situation. Not the activities that I feel like doing, the activities you want me to do. It's a yieldedness to God. Yieldedness to God. That's how we lay down our lives as living sacrifice, and that's how what is holy and pleasing and acceptable to God. Daily worship. So we should be consistent in our lives no matter where we're at. We should be the same on our jobs as we are at church. Same language, same attitude. How many know that doesn't happen all the time? The reason that doesn't happen is because people compartmentalize their life. It's like going to one of these storage units. Okay, you got all these doors in the storage units. Well, people compartmentalize their life. So you have your church compartment, and that's where we have certain rules and standards, and you dress a certain way, and you talk a certain way. But when I go to my work compartment, guys are talking different than that, all right? So I might be able to use profanity and bad language in my work compartment, but I would never use that language in my church compartment. Or I go into my computer compartment, and nobody knows what I watch on my computer. But I hope people in the church would never see what I watch on my computer compartment. You see what I'm saying? Or you go to school. Some of you kids are in school. And I would dress a certain way at school, but I'd never wear that in my church compartment because that wouldn't be acceptable. So we compartmentalize our lives, and we act differently wherever we are. Our language is different. Topic of conversation is different. And you know what that's called in the Bible? Hypocrisy. It's not being real. It's being inconsistent with our lives. I don't care if somebody sees us at a ball game or at City Market or whatever that might be. We ought to be the same wherever we're at, right? That's what it means to worship Him in our daily lives. Our lives are a worship to God wherever we are at any time. And worship is also to include our children. Psalm 8, verse 2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Through the praise of children and infants. Thank God that we have leaders like Jeff and Molly and others that will train our children to use their gifts and talents now in their lives. We're teaching them that God has given them musical talents, and they don't have to wait till they're in high school or in college or they get married before God's going to use them. God wants to use them right now. Right now. And that's what they're doing. We have that. They're learning to sing. You can hear harmonies in there. Some children are very gifted musicians and singers, and we want to give them a place to serve in that way. But what a blessing it is for them to learn that God wants to use them right now. My wife and I stumbled over this years ago when we were working with youth. We were working with junior hires, and we had about 90 junior hires in this junior high group at our church. But Marty and I also went into nursing homes on Sunday afternoon. We had two nursing homes that we alternated on Sunday afternoons going into and helping the people and having a service. And the piano player that played for us there got arthritis in her hands, and she couldn't play the piano anymore to lead the hymns. And so I went to the congregation and asked the congregation, close to 2,000 people in the congregation at that time. I said, would anybody like to come into the nursing home with us on Sunday afternoons after church and play the piano so that people could sing hymns? You know how many volunteers I got out of 2,000 people?
None.
Zero. There's a pastor's daughter that just said that there. Zero. No one wanted to go in the nursing, because people don't like going into nursing homes oftentimes. And so my wife, bless her heart, she says, Doug, why don't we ask the junior hires? There might be somebody there who could play the piano. And at that time I thought, oh, I don't know. I mean, they're just kids. But bless Marty's heart, she goes, Doug, come on. So I went to the junior hires, and we said, anybody can play the piano? We need help at a nursing home. A little Debbie raises her hand, says, I'll help. I'm learning, and you just give me the music, and I'll learn each week. So Debbie started coming in. She became our piano player for 4 years in that nursing home. But Debbie started coming in every Sunday. And what we would do is we'd take her with us, and then she'd come to our house, and then we'd take her to the Sunday night service where her parents could pick her up again. It worked out great. But Debbie began to get very exuberant about the nursing home, and she realized God was using her there because the people love, they love you to come in. I tell young pastors who aren't used to speaking in front of people, the nursing home is a great place to go because they can't hardly see you. They can hardly hear you, and they just appreciate you being there. I mean, you cannot get a more non-threatening environment than going into a nursing home. And it's a blessing to go in anyway. And so Debbie started to be used by the Lord, and then some of her friends said, well, what are you doing on Sunday afternoons? Well, I go here. Can we come? So then two came, then four came, then six came. Marty and I were taking 15 to 16 junior hires with us every Sunday into the nursing homes. And that's where they learned to play the piano. One of them brought his guitar. He learned to play the guitar there. And out of that group came missionaries, pastors, worship leaders. Because they began to see that God wanted to use them now, not later. And it's been a blessing to watch that. So, thank God for our children. God uses them and wants to use them and to use those gifts and talents for Him. Also, we have baby dedications, and that's part of worship, consecrating our lives to Him. And we have a lot of babies born in this church, and thank God for our children. We love them, and God wants our quivers to be full. It says in Psalm 127. Some quivers are bigger than others, okay, but that's... So this all entails our worship of God, and we exist to worship God. Secondly, we exist to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we are. The good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came for one purpose, to set us free from sin, to heal our lives, to restore our relationship with Almighty God, and give us the guarantee of an inheritance in heaven. Thank God for that. So that's what we proclaim. David said in Psalm 145, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." So that's what we're doing. We're declaring the works of the Lord to other people and other generations. Jesus said, Mark 16, after He rose from the dead, He said to His disciples, "Go and proclaim the gospel to all creation." In Matthew 24:14, this is in your notes, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So we are to go into the whole world and declare the gospel, and that's why we support missionaries. And we have missionaries. If you're new to Winter Park Christian, we're not a church that supports 50 missionaries at $10 apiece. We want to get behind a few missionaries to make a significant impact. And that's what we do. We have missionaries up there that go into very dangerous parts of the world, unreached people groups, where it's against the law to be a Christian. You're killed to be a Christian. And the gospel, also it says in Acts 1, Jesus said, "Go and declare the gospel. Go and be my witnesses." And He told His disciples, "Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." So where we start is where we live, right here in River City. A lot of needs around us here. So we not only send missionaries out, but we had this last year a lot of things happening here. We have a VBS, Vacation Bible School, that we run, that we reach a lot of kids in the community, a lot of families that don't go to church oftentimes. This year we had 100 kids a day for 5 days, and it was a powerful time. Had a lot of fun. It was really, really a blast. But we also have probably close to 100 volunteers, adults, that put that on. So it's a great outreach to our community. Also, we have a sports camp every year. We had around 85 kids, right, Sarah? Something like that, at our sports camp. And at the sports camp, we have coaches that come in and teach the kids soccer, basketball, some years football, depending on who the coaches are, volleyball, martial arts. Eric was teaching some martial arts. They're getting ready to flip some young boy, or I don't know what he's doing there. But we have a lot of fun, but we also teach the scriptures and reach out to them. We get to reach out to many families that probably would never go to church through these outreaches up here. We also have a jail ministry, and most of you know that. We've been going into the county jail here doing Bible studies and letting the people behind bars know that somebody cares about them. We've been going in there for 26 years every week doing Bible studies. Jean on this side here, she goes in. She's gone in for many years to minister to the women. Gals, if you want to go into a great ministry and you have an afternoon free, call Jean and just go in with her and see what happens in that jail. And also John Taylor and John and Pete. Where's Pete? Pete Hammond heads up our jail ministry, but they go in and minister to the guys. And we've been doing that for many years. It's a blessing to do that. Also, we support a ministry called The Bridge, and that's becoming a vital ministry in the county where we reach out to non-Christian women, primarily women, who really are having very hard lives. And we begin to teach them not only God's Word, but teach them skills so that they can get on their feet when their boyfriends leave them or their husbands leave them and that. And that's a powerful ministry, and it's a growing ministry too. So those are ways this year that we're reaching out. Next year, we're going to be starting a ministry, Celebrate Recovery, another great ministry to reach out to the community to see healing in lives through the power of Jesus. And lastly, the gospel is the power of God by which people are saved. We come to believe, we confess Christ, and Jesus said that we were to go and make disciples and baptize them. So we baptized people this year, and there we are in the Colorado River. When we get a building extension, by the way, those of you, we were thinking about some year having a building extension, we will never put a baptismal in our building. We don't need one. We've got rivers. We've got ranch ponds. We've got hot tubs. We've got swimming pools. I mean, we use every place they have water. Here we are in the Colorado River, and it's a blessing. We've only lost two in all the years we've been baptizing, and so it's been a pretty good percentage here. That's a lot of fun. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Number three, we exist to consecrate our lives to Him. David says, God fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. There's a qualifier there. Not just everybody. Fulfills the desire of those who reverence Him, who follow Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. People say, well, what are His commandments? That's what we do. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we have Bible studies, to learn what God wants us to do and to know Him. And we are lifetime learners. If any Christian ever comes to the point where they say, been there, done that, heard that, I don't need any more, they're in big trouble. Big trouble. We're lifetime learners. We can never learn enough. I can't ever get enough studying God's Word. It's always new and fresh. I'm just about done with reading through the Bible this year. I got two more chapters to go. Man, every time I go through it, I think, wow, Lord, You're awesome. I learn things about me, learn things about God all the time. Colossians chapter 1 says, when it talks about consecrating our lives, he said, so walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. How do we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Next phrase, fully pleasing to Him. Lord, I want to learn what pleases You. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why we have Bible studies. And we have women's Bible studies. Judy is the head of our women's ministry. We have many Bible studies throughout the week for our ladies. And if you're here new, there's a study on a time when you can go, because we got a lot of them. Also, we have so-and-sos. There are ladies who like to sew, and we make quilts for people in hospitals. And Sue Jackson, one of our elders' wives, was in the hospital, as most of us know, and this church in Denver sent her a quilt, and it was so comforting, such a blessing. She came back and started that ministry in our church. And so if you like to sew, you can become a part of this ministry where we sew quilts for people who are having hospital stays. Also, fat men's meetings, okay? Every Wednesday morning we have fat men's Bible training. And fat does not mean that we sit around and eat donuts and that's all, okay? That's not the kind of fat. Yeah, sure, all right. Well, we do eat donuts. We eat donuts. But FAT is an acronym for faithful, accountable, and teachable. That's what we want to be as men. Faithful, accountable, and teachable. We meet every Wednesday morning at 6:30. And also, we have another ministry for training young men in our congregation. We call it LITs, or Leaders in Training. And what they do is we get young men, most of them are under 40, and they commit to 3 years training in our church, meeting every Saturday. And then we have them sit in on elders' meetings, and we have them sit in on administrative board meetings that handle all of our finances and other meetings. And we want these young men to know how the church operates, how you maintain financial integrity, how you maintain spiritual integrity, what kind of decisions do you have to make. And every week we're going through 1 and 2 Timothy and pouring into them everything we can to develop them in leadership. Then at the end of 3 years, they graduate. And over the last 7 years, we've done this twice, and we've graduated 36 young men in our church that are involved in leadership right now and bless the body. So we are really committed to pass on and train the next generation. That's what that's all about. It's been a huge blessing. So then also, we are to no longer live our lives as the Gentiles do, the unbelievers. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, would you please? Chapter 4. And Ephesians chapter 4, this passage is a great passage that gives us the how-tos in our Christian walk. It's one thing to say, well, we're not supposed to live our life like unbelievers. Well, what does that mean? Well, here in Ephesians, this is one of the many places where it kind of unpacks that a little bit. Now, Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now this I say, Paul is writing to the church, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. So you must no longer walk as those who aren't believers and followers of Christ. They are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. There are people who have hard hearts towards God. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's things we need to stop and things we need to start doing. Things we need to give up and quit, impurity, sensuality, sex outside of marriage. And then there's things we need to begin to move forward on, the things that God wants us to grow in. And again, it even spells that out even a little more as you go down here. And so that's what it means. No longer live the way your old life is. Come into the new life. Come into the new life. When I first became a Christian and I went to church, there was this group of people who went out and they just wanted to drink. And I told them, that's what I used to do before I was a Christian. Why do you want to do that as you're a Christian? I used to need extra help to have fun in life. I needed the beer and the whiskey and that, but I don't need that now. No. So there's a life to put off and a life to put on. And we're committed to that. We're committed to growing up and maturing in Christ. We are to continue in the Word of God. And by the way, with that, we had a band of brothers conference this last year. We had 19 guys, I think 18 or 19 guys from our church go to this. And it was a powerful time up at Young Life Camp. We spent 3 days together with some powerful teaching and did all kinds of things, high ropes courses and that. And there's the guys that went. But this is the first men's retreat I've ever been on where all the guys came and said, Doug, we don't want to quit. We want to keep going what we've learned in this conference. So let's meet once a month. And that's what we've been doing all this last year. We meet once a month with these band of brothers to keep reinforcing what we learned at that conference. God's doing a great work in many lives here. Also, we are to continue in learning the Word of God. Turn with me to one more passage, which is 2 Peter. Go to the right in your Bible to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And here again, God is encouraging us to learn His Word, to grow in our knowledge of Him. It says here in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Through reading the Word. So we have all these Bible studies going on, men's and women's. Also, we have life groups. And if you're not part of a life group that meets once a week, I encourage you to be part of a life group. That's where you develop friendships. That's where you develop the camaraderie. That's where you can pray for one another's needs. LIFE, L-I-F-E, is an acronym for four things that incorporate every life group. Okay? LIFE stands for L, learning. We study the Word of God. I, intercession. We pray for one another. F, fellowship. We eat. We have fun. Play games. And E, the evangelism. There's outreaches through these life groups. And we got several of them. And it's a great way to connect. In our church, we have three services here. Very hard to connect with people on Sundays. The life of this church is in these small groups. That's where the life is. That's where your friendships are. If you're not a part, you'll be disconnected from a real part of the life of this particular church family, Winter Park Christian. Lastly, we exist to commit our lives to His service. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless His holy name, David said. We're to bless Him with our lives, these members, and we can do that by how we give ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, this is in your notes, you don't have to turn to this. This is a great verse, very simple. God is so direct. As each has received a gift, use it. Period. God has given you gifts, use them. To serve one another. The gifts that God gives us, the talents and abilities He gives us, was never for our benefit alone. It's for others' benefit. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. Thank God, over this last year, we have very gifted people in our church that give their gifts to serve. We have teachers teaching our children, a children's church. Sarah is heading that up. And by the way, we have had Awanas, which is Bible study for young boys and girls on Saturday nights. But our Awana leader, Reed, is not able to do that anymore because he's going to be heading up our Celebrate Recovery with Jack Dugweiler, him and Jack. And so we need an Awana leader, or we're not going to have an Awana ministry. So if you have a heart for working with kids on Saturday nights during service, see Sarah back there. We have teachers. We have people who are just in the Bible, there's a gift of helps. There are people who just like to help with practical things. Don't ever tell them to get up in front and speak or anything like that, but they like to help. You notice when you walked in here how clean the church is? Was anybody here Christmas Eve to see how it was not so clean? We had a lot of people here on Christmas Eve, and this place, every room in this building, including here, had to be cleaned up. There was hay all over the place up here. You ever try to clean up hay? And you know, Friday, when many of us were with families, there was a group of people that came in here and cleaned the whole church. We just come in and enjoy what other people have done to serve us. Nothing gets done in the church unless somebody is sacrificing time and energy and finances. Praise God for those who have helped, the gift of helps. Visitation. Some people are just have a gift of visiting people and encouraging them. Their demeanor, their smile, just to go in and just let them know you're loved and missed, cared for. We have a whole reconnecting ministry here where we look for MIAs, we call them, missing in action. People that we've seen, but we don't see them anymore for a while. We reach out to them. There are some great cooks. You have a gift of making meals. We've got great cooks in this church. I'm not a great cook. I'm a great eater. And every great cook needs a great eater, and that's my part, okay? People who can cook meals, and we do. We supply meals for people with newborns, people in long-staying hospital stays, and we'll make two, three weeks of meals for them. So thank God for that. People who are gifted in finances, financial advice. We run a whole financial course every year here, Financial Peace University, to help people get out of debt. And we have gifted people there, handymen, people who know how to do a lot of things. What a blessing they are. When they come in, they do some, oh, that's nothing. Well, it's nothing for them, but it's something for everybody else who doesn't know what we're doing. Decoration. There are different kinds of decorations in the church. We have people who are very good at decorating, and they come in, and that's what they do. So the point is, thank God for the people who've given themselves to service this year in so many ways, so many ways. Says in Galatians, so then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. In 1 John, it says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us love in not word or deed, but in word and speech, but in deed and truth. So if we've got ways to help people, let's do it. One of the ways this last year, we do this every year, that's a huge blessing, is we have a wood cutting day, okay? And we are very blessed to have people who bring in semi-loads of logs, dump it in our parking lot, and then we have people show up with many chainsaws, with wood splitters, and we have a day of cutting wood to give to the community during the wintertime. We have kids coming, families come, we have stackers, cutters, splitters, everything, people who make lunch during that time. And then we stack and split all the wood. We put up 20 cords of wood in one day, and half of it's gone out there, just about, because people can come. When people need firewood, they can come and take it for free. If you know somebody needs firewood, you just back your car, your truck up there, load it up, and go take it to them and bless them. You know, a lot of people we minister to are people who move up here to Grand County, and they haven't lived a winter up here yet. And so they got a little box of wood they think is going to last them. And so after the first few days, the box of wood is gone, and they think, oh no, and now there's snow out there, where am I going to get wood? Thank God we can go and help them. We have one guy in Grand Lake all winter long supplied a lot of wood for him because he just didn't have it prepared. And many times the people who we help will call us and say, you tell me when that next wood cutting day is. I want to be down there to bless other people too. So that's what that is. Now, I've never seen a semi back up to that and take the whole stack. Praise God for that. But if you know of people, you got that wood to give to them. It's just another way to be a blessing. And lastly, we are here, we exist to serve the next generation. And that's what David said. One generation will proclaim your works to another. In Psalm 78, powerful verse, says, we will not hide them from our children, but tell it to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord, and his might and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. So fathers are responsible to training children up in the ways of God. That's a command of God. That the next generation might know them, a children yet unborn, and arise and tell it to their children. Why? So they may put their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's what we are committed to do. And so committed, we train parents are the primary teachers and influencers in every family. Dads especially are the primary influencers. We have marriage conferences. We have ways to train parents. We also have a Christian school. And in our Christian school, we're dedicated to that next generation. And they learn the wonders of God every day in class. Every subject is God's subject, right? Math, science, literature, English, every subject displays the glory of God, and our children learn that. So here they are discovering things that God has made and making things and doing something in the parking lot. I don't know what that is, but that's some kind of science experiment, looks like to me. But we want to thank God, and we really thank God for our teachers. And that's the last slide here. Our teachers get a quarter of the salary that they're really worth. They're not here because of the money. They're here because they have a vision to pass on to the next generation the truths of God's Word. And we're in our 10th year in our Christian school, and we're so grateful for every teacher on our staff that serves our kids. So as we close today, we're going to see a little video clip on the church. I thought it was worth showing to just, again, reemphasize what we're all about. We exist to worship, proclaim, consecrate, and commit. And that's our whole life before God. What a blessing it is to be a part of the family of God. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing this last song in closing today, and we'll close in prayer.